When we begin the sugya today, which is at least from the vantage point of Lamdas, probably the most important sugya in terms of Hilchos Taharoves, that's the sugya of Nosen Tam, or the sugya of Tam Ke'ikar. We usually use the terms interchangeably. So the basic principle of Nosen Tam is fairly simple, but the makoros for it, and the understanding of it, whether it's Minatorah, Midrabanan, when it's Minatorah, when it's Midrabanan, and just how to understand the parameters of what the halacha are, really is somewhat more complicated. The basic halacha, very simple, appears in the Mishnah, Maseches Chulin, that if a person has a pot of food, of kosher food, and a little bit of non-kosher food falls in, so even though the non-kosher food is no longer visible, if one could taste the non-kosher food, so then you have a problem. So then, Hareza b'Nosein Tam, if there's that much treifus food that fell into the pot of kosher food, that the taste is still discernible, that's going to pose a problem. The food is going to be treif. Hareza b'Nosein Tam, that's a din that everybody agrees to. Nevertheless, the Gemara raises a question in many, many places throughout Shas. So what's the mokar for this halacha? Is this halacha of Areza B'nai Shem Tam, what we call Tam Kikur, is this really a din min HaTorah? Maybe min HaTorah, we could argue, that treifas means you have a piece of chaza, you look at it, it looks like chaza, tastes like chaza, smells like chaza, that's chaza. But if you have a pot of potato soup that has a little bit of chaza that's dissolved in and you can't see it anyway, but you can merely discern it by taste, maybe that's only also mid Rabbanan. What does it say in Chumash? The Tam is Kikur. Maybe there really is some kind of a makor somewhere in Chumash, but we can derive the principle of Tam Ke'ikar. So this is probably the most basic fundamental question. Is the principle of Tam Ke'ikar Minator or it's only Midrabanan? So already the Gemara raises the question, and the Gemara says, well, if something is Minatorah, you have to find the makor. You can't just say it's Deraisa, just like that. So you have to find a pasuk in Chumash. It doesn't say anywhere, V'dav Hashem Moshe Leimor, Nosen Tam. So where does it say in the Chumash that there's a din of Nosen Tam? So the Gemara has a whole series of different possible derivations for the principle of Nosen Tam. So one of the principles is the principle that we already should be familiar with, and that's Bas B'Cholov. It says the Gemara, if you think about it for a little bit, Bas B'Cholov is also an example of Nosen Tam. Why? You take a piece of meat, and you put it into a pot of milk. Now you take the piece of meat out. So you look at the piece, and you cooked it together. Now you take it out. Take a look at the meat. Can you really see the milk in the meat? Or you take a look at the remaining milk in the pot. Can you really see the meat in the pot? But the Torah says it's also. The Torah says not only you're not allowed to cook basar and chalav together, but if you did, so then the basar becomes asar, and presumably the chalav becomes asar. So isn't the isser of basar b'chalav, by definition, an example of ta'am ke'ikar? Isn't the Torah assuming this premise that ta'am is ke'ikar? If ta'am was not ke'ikar, and the only types of machalos asuros that the Torah prohibits are things that look really crystal clear that they're machalos asuros, so how could there ever be a case of basar b'chalav in the Torah? Every basar b'chalav is merely ta'am. So the Gemara says, that's a good machar for the din of Tam Ke'ikar. We can extrapolate that just as in the realm of Bas B'chol of Tam is Ke'ikar, so too in the realm of Chaz and Avei, Ladam, and all other areas of Halacha Tam Ke'ikar as well. Just as the Gemara, that's not necessarily a good raya, because we know that Bas B'chol is a Chiddush. We've already spoke about this in the past. The Bas B'chol has its own unique set of halachas. We'll talk about it a little bit more as we go through Hilchos Taharoves. So says the Gemara, Mechidush lo yafidin. We're not so sure that we can actually derive halachas from things which are pure chidushim. Maybe Basar B'Cholov is lachud. You can't learn out anything from Basar B'Cholov. So that's strike one. So Basar B'Cholov sounded like it was a good raya. The Gemara says, no, not such a good raya. Then the Gemara tries a different avenue to try to find a makor for the principle of Tam Ke'ikar. The Gemara says, what about the parsha and chumash and parshas matos of kasher and kalim? So here we have a strange thing. The Torah says, if you take a piece of neveila and you cook it in a pot, so the pot becomes treif. The whole parsha's klamidion, where they had a kasher the kalim before they were permitted to use it. So the premise of that entire parsha is that let's say a person would go ahead and cook with the treif a pot before he kashered it. So the food would become treif. That's what the Torah says. You're not allowed to take the pots from the goyim and just cook with them, because if you're going to do that, that's going to treif up your food. Again, assuming that it's within 24 hours, it's a kedera bas yoma. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, why is that going to treif up the food? What? Where's the chazer? Where's the nevela? The answer is, the chazer and nevela aren't invisible. They've seeped into the pores of the kli. There's a tam, there's a blia, and that blia is going to come out of the pot into the subsequent chicken soup that you're about to cook. So says the Gemara, but now you're looking at your pot of chicken soup. Do you see chazer in there? You're looking at your pot of potato soup. Do you see a piece of nevela floating around the potato soup? You don't see anything. It's ta'am. It's ta'am ke'ikar. So how come the Torah is concerned with ta'am? It must be a raya that ta'am ke'ikar is really a din min haTorah. So if ta'am ke'ikar is the whole premise of the principle of kasher and kalim, so then what's the difference whether the ta'am is ayadei kli or whether the ta'am is ayadei piece of chazer directly that falls into a pot of potato soup? That even though the piece of chazer is not visible anymore. So that's the Gemara's second raya. So the Gemara says, you know what? That's also not such a great raya, because Geulei Midyan, Geulei, the parish of Kasher and Kalim, may have its own rules. There may be a special Chiddush HaTorah. Maybe it doesn't fit into the regular pattern of things. At the end of the day, the Gemara leaves us hanging and says, you know what? That may or may not be such a great raya either. So far we're 0-2. Have any other options? The Gemara says, yeah, got you another option. The third option is Nazir. Nazir, this week's Pasha, Pasha's Naso. So the Torah says that a Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes, and a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, it's not allowed to eat raisins, it's not allowed to eat the dry, anything you name it, it's not allowed to eat. Vafila b'chol mishras anovim lo yachol lo yishtef. Who's the Bakari? Every time I quote the Pasuk, I can never remember. Does it say? Lo yochel or lo yoshteh? Lo yishteh. Quick, whatever it is, either one. All right, no. So whichever one it is, he's not allowed to do. So Mishra Sanavim. So the question is, what is Mishra Sanavim? What do the words mean? So Mishra Shoreh means to soak. So says the Gemara, what Mishra Sanavim Lo Yochel means is that if a Nazir takes a piece of bread and he soaks it into, puts it into a little bit of wine, then he takes the bread out, even though there's no real wine there, he can't necessarily even see the wine, but it's white wine, he can't see it. It doesn't matter. Lo yochel, but he's not permitted to eat that. Why isn't he allowed to eat it? Because the bread now has a ta'am of wine in it. So just as the Torah says that a nazir is not allowed to eat the mishras anavim, even something which is merely soaked with wine, even though it doesn't have a real mamashas of wine, ta'am is ki'ikar. If ta'am is ki'ikar by nazir, then ta'am ki'ikar is by kol Torah kula. We can extrapolate from that pasuk to other areas of halach as well. So the Gemara says, well, we're not so sure. Maybe that's not what the pasuk means. Maybe we can't learn to other things. Back and forth, the Gemara says, you know, that pasuk is also a little bit shaky. So we have, so far we have over three. We have three shaky makaras. The question is, so what do you do with that? This is like a question in life. Very often you have three proofs to a certain premise, but the problem is each proof is faulty. So it could be that all the proofs are wrong. So that's what the Gemara throws out and says, you know, we're not really sure. Taka, what's the din? Is Tam Kika really a din mitzvah Torah? Is Tam Kika really only a din mitzvah Rabbanim? So how do we pasuk in the halacha? So this basic question, whether we accept any of these makaras, all these makaras for Tam Kika, whether or not Tam Kika is deraisa, or it's under the Rabbanim, is going to impact about how we're going to view so many shailas of that are going to come up in the Chos HaRobes. Are we dealing with deraisas? Are we dealing with derabbanans? When is it deraisa? When is it derabbanans? We have to pasuk in this fundamental question: is tam kikur a din min haTorah? Do any of these psukim really, honest to goodness, indicate that tam is kikur? But rather, all the psukim are no good. And all the psukim you can be docha, all of them. At the end of the day, there really is no mocker in Chumash that tam kikur, which would lead us to believe that tam kikur is only mid derabbanan. So although this sugi appears in several places, it appears in Maseches Psachim, it appears in the part of Maseches Chulin, it appears in the end of Avodah Zarah, it appears in Nazir. There's one Gemara that seems to throw a monkey wrench into the entire sugya. Comes the Gemara at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is a pretty major player in Psach because he's the first generation Amora. He's going to beat out Rav and Shmuel. He's a pretty, pretty powerful name. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that kol shatamo v'ein mamasho, ein leiken alav. If a person eats food from a tarovus, which is ta'am, which has the taste of treifus, v'lo mamasho, but there's no essence, the thing itself, the mamashos of it, isn't there, ein lokan alav. One would not be chayav malchus on that. So the question is, what do we do with that statement, that cryptic statement of Rabbi Yochanan, knowing everything that we know, that is there a pasuk for tam kikur? Maybe yeah, maybe no, does it mean it, does it not mean it? Comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, kol shetam v'ein mamasho ein lokan alav. What does that mean? So comes Rashi and says, Rabbi Yochanan is finally deciding for us what the answer to this question is. Rabbi Yochanan, by telling us that tam v'lo mamasho, that's synonymous with saying tam ki'ikur, because that's what it means. There's only tam, but you can't really see the thing itself. There's no mamashos. Kol shetam v'lo mamasho ain't like in a love. You're not going to be chayav malchus for eating that ta'arovah. Says Rashi, why aren't you chayav malchus? We have a klal. Whenever something is awesome in a Torah, then you're chayav malchus. If something is only awesome in the Rabbanan, then you're not chayav malchus. So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was finally machriya, that he finally came to a decision, a conclusion, and he said, kol shetayim ovei mamasho ein linkin alav, that's a raya, brura says Rashi, that the emes lamito as we paskin, that tam kikur is really mid the Rabbanan. So then Rashi says, but if you look, there are other Gemaras that seem to quote the Psukim and seem to support the Psukim. Says Rashi, nah, none of the Psukim really mean it. Everything is asmachtos. The Psukim, this is not a raya. You can't learn from Basu B'cholim, and you can't learn out from Nazir, and you can't learn out from Parashat Klei Midyan. Nothing's a good raya. So that doesn't exist. The din doesn't exist. Unless you can prove that min haTorah, the din of Tam Kikur exists. So the assumption is that it doesn't exist, and therefore, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was driving at. Kol shetayim ovei mamasho ein lokin alav.
When he says, say suffik deraisa, that's such a case. It's a suffik if it is deraisa.
Right. So you mean Luyutzi would have a shayla of tam kikur, and I'm not sure whether it's a deraisa or not. If it would be a suffik, if it would be a chashash deraisa, it would be significantly more machna in Ochinami. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Is it really deraisa or not? So Rashi says that at the end of the day, it's not deraisa. Everything is derabanan because the psukim really don't mean it. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. But imtam saloma, that other rishonim are going to say we're not sure whether it's deraisa, then we're going to be machna. We'll see. That's what the Rashi's pshara is. So comes Rashi's grandson, Rabbi Natan. He said, the Mechil is covered of Hezeda. He said the exact opposite of what Rashi says. Comes to Ben Atam and says, no, the Psukim really mean it. Tam Kikur, it's really honest and good as Diraisa. And you know what? If a person would eat something which has Tam of Chazir, he would get Malkus for it. Yechayim, it's a Diraisa. It's a Lav. It's a Nisa Diraisa. Yechayim Malkus. So what do you do with Rabbi Yechanan? Kol Shatayim Ovalam HaMashal, Ein Lofin Alav. So says Rabbi Natam, we misunderstood the case that Rabbi Yechanan was talking about. We already know, we spoke about this in the past. There are fundamentally two different types of tarovas in halacha. I don't know if that's the correct plural of tarovas. I think it's taruvos or something like that. But just it's like shabosim, but whatever. It just kind of doesn't sound as well. So there are two different types of tarovas in halacha. One of them is a tarovas of min b'she'eino mino, when you have two foods which don't taste the same. And one is a tarovas of min b'mino, where the two foods do taste the same. Says Rabbi Natam, there's a yisayda yisaydis, which is at least according to Rabbi Natam, was yisayda yisaydis. Which of course Rashi after the help was not only you said this, but was absolutely wrong. But Rabbi Natan held that the Yisaydah Yisaydah in your day is as follows. Two basic premises. When you have a tarovis of min b'she'eino mino, it means you have a pot of potato soup and a little bit of chaza falls in. So potatoes and chaza taste different. So then you have an issue of no sin tam, that's tam kikur, and that soup is also min haTorah. So if there's enough chaza in there that you can discern the taste in the potatoes, it's also min haTorah to eat that soup, and if you eat that soup, yechayim malchus, it's absolutely halachic equivalent, it's tantamount to eating chazer mamish. That's Rabbi Natan Shita. That's when you have a tarobus of min b'she'eino mino. However, when you have a tarobus of min b'mino, when you have two foods that get mixed up together, and they both taste the exact same. So let's say, for example, you have a pot of stew that's making with meat in it, with kosher meat in it, and then a little bit of nevela falls in, a little bit of besar nevela falls in. So besar nevela and besar shchuta taste the exact same. What's the difference? If you didn't know that one was kosher, one was treif, it's mamish the same thing. One may cost 35 times as much, but in terms of the taste, they taste the exact same thing. That's called min b'mino. When you have a tarobis of min b'mino, says Rabbi Natan, how can you invoke the principle of no sin tam? Listen to yourself. What do you mean no sin tam? You're going to tell me when you're eating this pot, so you can discern the besar nevela taste the same. So whenever you have a tarovus, a min b'mino, you have two foods that are mamish, the exact same food. So says Rabbi Natan, that type of a tarovus, you can't even begin to discuss the principle of no sin tam. So how do you know whether it's kosher, whether it's treif? What's the shear, yesh bedavar? So says Rabbi Natan, the shear is rov, gittel barov. As long as you have rov kosher food, there's more kosher steak to the treif steak. So of course it's going to be kosher. When you have treif of food that falls, you have chaza that falls into potato soup, you can't just say rov and call it a day. I have more potato soup than chaza, so I'm home free. No. Rov isn't going to solve your problem because you have to still reckon with the tam. You have to still make sure that the tam isn't discernible min haTorah because tam is ki'ikar. So when you have a tarov, it's a min b'she'eino mino, when you have to deal with tam, so then rov isn't acceptable. But when you're dealing with a tarov, it's a min b'mino, where there's no such thing as tam. Physically, there's no tam because it's all the same tam. So then min haTorah, you go basar rov. Now, it happens to be true that mid derabanan, Rabbi Natan is a gemara in Chul that says mid derabanan, we don't want to let you do that. We don't want you to let you just get away with rov and call it a day. We're going to insist that there's going to be a significant amount of kosher food corresponding to the tray for food that fell in. How much is significant? So says the Gemara, the same amount that would have been mevatel the tam, if it would have been min b'she'eino mino, and how much is that practically? That's the number of shishim, as we already spoke about last week. So just as if you would have chazer that fell into potato soup, you would need shishim with the potato soup to be mevatel the chazer, because when you have shishim, then you could say for certain there's no tam. So too, when you have when you have treifa beef fell into a pot of kosher beef, so if you have shishim of the kosher beef connected to the treifa beef, so then it's going to be mutter even lechatchila shabu lechatchila. So min haTorah, you don't even need shishim. Min haTorah is bottle barov. But mid the Rabbanon, just to avoid confusion, your day is confusing enough anyway, so the Chumim said you need shishim, even though it really doesn't make any sense. There's really no intrinsic reason to require shishim, because what's shayach to speak about nesin tam? There's no nesin tam, it's min b'mino. Says Rabbi Natan, when the Gemara made that cryptic statement, Rabbi Yechiel made that statement in Avodah Zarah, kol she'taimro ve'ein mamosho ein lokin alav, what type of tarovus was Rabbi Yochanan speaking about? Says Rabbi Natan, he was talking about a tarovus of min b'mino, not a tarovus of min b'she'ein mino. If it's a tarovus of min b'she'ein mino, so then it's lokin alav, yechayev malchus, tam kikar, it's also min haTorah. But since Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a tarovus of min b'mino, so min b'mino, the requirement of shishim is on the midrabanan, so therefore, ein lokin alav. So of course, the weak point of Rabbi Natan's argument is, the phrase tamo is a very, very shvacha phrase. It's tamo, the word tam, you see the word tam, so like, you know, red light should go off in your mind, tam. We're talking about min b'she'ein amino. So Rabbi Natan says, no, it doesn't really mean it. What tamo means is, there's the amount of food in the taroves that imtim salomer would have been a min b'she'ein amino, it would have been tam there. So you can already see what Rashi was the pashtun. Rashi says, come on, that's not what the Gemara says. So Rabbi Natan had absalom this, a pilpul. But what forced Rabbi Natan into his whole shtetl Torah is because he couldn't believe that the maskara is that tam kikra is on the midrabanan. So everyone has to deal with this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says the Feirish that ain't like it alav. So ain't like it alav is a dead giveaway, means the rabanan. So Rashi says, inochinam, it's exactly what it means, that tam kikra is on the midrabanan. And according to Rabbi Natan, no, it never said that. The Gemara was talking about something totally different. It was talking about min b'mino, but im tam salam would be min b'shen amino, there would really be tam, then it would in fact be also min haTorah. So we have a machlekes min haKotzeh laKotzeh, the Gedolei HaRishonim, Rashi, Rabbi Natan. What's the end of the day? What's the bottom line? Is tam kikra min haTorah, is tam kikra min haRabanan? According to Rashi, tam kikra hakol mikra kolos min haRabanan. According to Rabbi Natan, tam kikra is min haTorah, and yechayev malchus for it. So as we know, of course, in halacha and in life, when you have two extreme shitas, so very often you're going to find certain shitas in the middle as well. So came a group of Rishonim and said, you know, maybe we can have our cake and eat it. Maybe tam ki'ikr could be min haTorah, and still you're not going to be chayev malchus for tam ki'ikr. How can you pull off that stunt? Doesn't the araisa always translate into being chayev malchus? So here you had a whole mahalach of Rishonim who said that Rashi is right, that the Gemara is talking about Tam Kikra. The Gemara is clearly talking about Min B'she'ein Amino. Rabbi Natan's Pshat is Dachuk. On the other hand, Rabbi Natan is also right that Tam Kikra is the Araisa. So then you have to come up with some new Hagadar, you have to come up with some new line of reasoning. How could it be that something could be awesome in HaTorah and not Chayav Malchus on it? Hayitochen? The answer is, of course it's Yitochen. There are many things that you're not Chayav Malchus from in HaTorah. So comes Tosus and quotes from one of the Bali HaTosus from the Rimi Erlins. I just can't figure out what city he came from. So the Rimi Erlins, he has the following interesting suggestion. If you remember, very, very back at the beginning of the Shia, we said that there are a few possible makoros and chumash for the idea of tam ki'ikra being min haTorah. One was basa b'cholov, which the Gemara rejected. One was nazir, which the Gemara may or may not have rejected. One was the parsha of kli midyan, which the Gemara may or may not have rejected. Says the Rimi Erlins, I'll tell you which is the real makor. He claims that the emesa makor for tam kikra min haTorah is from the parsha of Kli Midyan. That's the makor. Says the Rimi Erlins, what would the din be if a person went ahead, he got a kli from a guy that was just used with chaza 10 minutes ago, and he went ahead and he cooked himself a cholent in this pot, and he eats the cholent. He violated the parsha of Kli Midyan of kasher and kalim. He asks the Rimi Erlins, is he chayav malchus? What avera did he do exactly? Name me the avera. He violated Parshas Matos. So says the Rimi Erlins, he didn't violate a lav. The mitzvah of Kasher and Kalim, or the dinner of Kasher and Kalim, was worded in B'Torah Saseh. The Torah says, Kol davara she'taviru ba'eish, Kol davara she'yavo ba'eish, taviru ba'eish v'taher, Kol she'lo yavo ba'eish, taviru ba'vayim. The Torah says that the Lashon Aseh, you have to kasher the Kalim. The implication is, if you don't kasher the kelim, that's going to be an avera. That's like an isra seh, an avabobachal seh. But the Torah formulates the prohibition, b'lashon aseh, that it's understood that if you don't do it in this manner, that's going to be something that's tough. Like, mashal ma'ad v'dome, there's a din that you're not allowed to marry a mitzri for the first two generations, a ger mitzri. So the Torah never says, lo tichatein in mitzri. The Torah says, dar shlishi yavah b'lehem b'kalashem. The Torah says that the third generation of mitzrim are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The implication being that the first two generations not. So therefore the Gemara says, what if a person goes out and marries a ger mitzri? You're not chayim malchus. You violated an issa min haTorah, you violated an asay min haTorah, you violated b'kum ba'asay, something the Torah says you're not allowed to do. It's worse than just not putting on tefillin. It's worse than just not eating matzah. Not eating matzah, not putting on tefillin, not eating the shofar. That's a bitul asay b'shei v'al taseh. But passively sitting back and not doing the mitzvah, you did something wrong. Here, it's an issur asay. You did something wrong. You did a ma'isa, but the name of the issur is not a lav. It's only an asay. So whenever you have an Isser, Bataras Asay, it could be also in a Torah, but it's not going to be Chayav Malchus. So comes the Rimi Alinz and says, if a person went ahead and used that tray for Kli, and he cooked up food and he eats the food, we can't nab him for eating Chazer. He didn't eat Chazer. He ate food that was cooked in a non-kosher pot, so he violated the Isser of Ach B'meini Dois Chat. He violated the Din of Kol Devar She'yavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh V'tayar. Says the Rimi, the whole institution of Tam Ki Iker is now being derived from the dinim of Kasher and Kalem. So just as Kasher and Kalem is considered to be an Isser Aseh, so too, the din of Tam Ki Iker is also an Isser Aseh. It's Lo Yeh Tofa Chom and Iker. That means if the whole Isser of Tam Ki Iker has its roots in Parshas Midyan, and Parshas Midyan itself is only in Isser Aseh, so everything derived from Parshas Midyan, everything derived from the Parsha of Kasher and Kalem, the whole institution of Tam Ki Iker is Aser, but it's only Aser B'Torah Saseh. So what would the din be if a person goes ahead, a little bit of chaza falls into his pot of potato soup, and he looks at the potato soup, he can't see the chaza. He goes ahead and he eats it, and he tastes, oh, what a delicious chaza that was. He eats the whole thing. Did he violate an Isser D'Araisa? Absolutely. Is he Chayim Malkos for it? Absolutely not. That was the pshara of the Rimi Erlin. So when the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Kol Shetayim Ovien Mamosho Ein Lokan Alav, the Gemara didn't mean to say that it's only Durabbanon like Rashi took it to mean. The Gemara didn't mean to say that it's talking about Mimbim Mino. No, it's talking about Mimbim Sheinam Mino. It's an Isser of Nais and Tam in the Torah. But Afa Bichain, you're not going to be Chayim Malkos for that. So it's interesting. Tosfos really, just as an aside to this, Tosfos says that this Chiddush of the Ri is very fascinating. Because Taisus says as follows. Very often we find that the Torah says something is usher as a lav, and then the Torah says in a specific case it's usher as an assay. So the question is, does the assay mean as a separate isser, or does what we call a hadri li isser kama? Do we say that when the Torah is mechadish, there's also the Torah's assay? What it meant is to put it back in the original category of isser as well. So the Taisus is not sure whether the Rimi Olinz's analysis is correct. Maybe. But the Torah says don't eat chazer. And then the Torah says, this is also called not eating chazer, eating food that was cooked in a chazer pot. So maybe what the Torah meant is a hadrili surakama, that it's part of the original love. So Marshal Namad Avadama, Tessus writes in other places, there's in Yana Yantif a little bit. The Torah says, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to do malach on Yantif. Then the Torah comes and says, but for ochel nefesh, you're allowed to cook. And then the Torah says, but if it's for a non-Jew or it's for animals, then you're not allowed to cook. Lachem below the klovim, lachem below the akum. You're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew. You're not allowed to cook for your animals on Yontif. So what's the halacha if a person goes ahead and cooks for his animals on Yontif? So what's the nature of the isser that he violated? So on the one hand, the isser of cooking for animals is learned out from pasuk lachem below the klovim. So lachem is an asay. It means you're allowed to cook for yourselves. The implication being you're not allowed to cook for your animals. So maybe that's only an Isser Aseh, you're not Chayav Malchus. Or do you say, no, a Hadrili Isser Akama, that once the Torah is Megala to us, that you're not allowed to cook for your animals, so that tells me that that's part of the Isser D'Araisa doing Malach on Yom Tov. So if a person goes out and cooks Shaloi Kedir on Yom Tov, so he's Chayav Malchus, that's like the real Chil Yom Tov. It's a lav, it's not just an Aseh. That's Mamash the same Shalos Rabbein Atam. The Torah says, don't eat Chazer. Then the Torah waters down and says that, well, even if you eat something which has a taste of chazer in it, that's also considered to be like eating chazer. So does that mean that's a new isser? That's a brand new isser with its only an assay? Or that's a hadil isser, a kam that goes back to the original isser? So somewhat humorous, the Prima Godim, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the first piece in the Sefer Shoshana Samachim. The Prima Godim wrote a whole bunch of svarim. So he wrote the famous Prima Godim on Shulchan Aruch. Then he wrote a couple of little smaller kuntrasim. So one of them he wrote is Shoshana Samachim. So in there he talks about, you know, everything under the sun you ever wanted. He puts together 25, 30, you know, shtickle terrors and, you know, whatever you want. None of them have anything to do with anything else. So the first one, if I'm not mistaken, he has raised the following shaila. What's the din? So you have to have a little bit of imagination. What's the din if a man takes a ring, he gives it to a woman in front of two Edim, and the two Edim happen to be people who cook for their animals on Yom Tov? What's the din? Is the Kedushin going to be chal or not? Very timely topic, halacha lemaisa. So, says the Prima Gadim, what's it going to depend on? It's going to depend on this Rabbeinu Tam by Tam Ki Iker. So he says, cooking on Yom Tov for your animals, is that a lav or is that an assay? If it's a lav, Yichai Malchus. Whoever does an aver, the Yichai Malchus, will you become possibly Edus, so the Kedushin is not chal. If it's only an assay, if you violate an assay, so you're not possibly Edus, so then the Kedushin is going to be valid. So it's all going to depend on this Rabbeinu Tam, and Tais is about a hadri li surah kam by Noisin Tam. Well, that's a little wild, Bikias, but that's what his shtickel Torah is about. So getting back to the story, so we have now three possible permutations in the Rishonim. What's the din? How do you understand Tam Kikur on a level of their eyes? Either it doesn't exist like Rashi, or it exists the Gamma like Rabbeinu Tam, or it exists Min HaTorah without Malkus. Comes the Rambam and tells us a fourth Mahalach, a different way of dealing with Tam Kikur. The Rambam was also bothered with this kasha. On the one hand, the Gemara seems to say in a few places that Tam Kikur is the Araisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan throws out this curveball that says, Kol Shetayim Ovei Mamasho Ein Lokan Lov. How do you resolve the two? So the Rambam, that's Abrisker, so the Rambam says there are two dinim. There are two different types of Tam Kikur. The term Tam Kikur doesn't always mean the same thing. Says the Rambam, we know that there's a special halacha l'moshe m'sinai we're all familiar with called Kedei Achilas Pras. Kedei Achilas Pras means that the amount of time that it takes to eat X amount of food. How much exactly is that amount of food? So that's a whole sugya masechus Erevin. Is it the amount of time to eat 3 beitzim and worth of grain, or 4 beitzim and worth of grain? So you have different permutations in the Rishonim and then in the later poskim, how much time it is. But Kedei Achilas Pras is critical in so many different areas of halacha. That's the sheer tziruf in achilas. That means if you start eating something and you break a little bit in the middle, so kozman that the achila was done kedei achilas pras, that's considered to be one achila. Kozman that it's spread out more than kedei achilas pras, that's not considered to be mitzuruf yachad. That shear of kedei achilas pras, that notion of kedei achilas pras, is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Gemara says beferish, this is one of the shiurim that was halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There are details which are a little bit unclear, just to, you know, exactly how much it is and how much does that translate in terms of minutes. But the basic principle is clearly halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and that principle appears in so many different areas in terms of machalos that the Gemara has it. The gabi the mitzvah achilas matzah. The Gemara says at the end of Masechus Pesachim. But if a person eats a kezayis of matzah, so if you ate it within kedei achilas pras, then you yotze the mitzvah. If you spread out the achilas kezayis more than kedei achilas pras, then it's not mitzuruf yachad, that's tantamount to eating less than a kezayis, which is kezayis is also halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that unless you eat a kezayis, that's not really considered to be achila. We find the shiur kedei achilas pras on Yom Kippur also, that if a person eats the amount of food that he's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, if he eats the kesevis, which is a little bit more than a kezayis, within the shiur of kedei achilas pras, that's considered to be an issur kares. If he eats it spread out over the time of kedei achilas pras, more than kedei achilas pras, then it's an issur min haTorah, but it's only chatzi shiur. It wouldn't be kares. Of course, this is the whole source for the sugi about the cholav. They have a person on Yom Kippur who has to eat, but on the other hand, if the doctor says there's nothing wrong with him spreading out the food or the drink over the course of time, so then obviously we would opt for the individual to spread it out over the course of time, to just to violate the issur deraisa of chatzi shiur, which doesn't carry with it an onus kares, rather than violating the real issur of achila shti on Yom Kippur, which we carry with it an issur kares. We find the shiur kedei achilas pras and achus brachas also, that if a person eats the food within kedei achilas pras, then you make a bracha achrona. If it's not kedei achilas pras, you don't make a bracha achrona. Many, many, many times we're familiar with the dinim of kedei achilas pras. So comes the Rambam and says that kedei achilas pras is important in hilchos machalos asuris as well in the following sense. Let's say you have a big pot of food, big pot of potato soup, and a little bit of chazer falls in there. Kezayis of chazer falls in there. Now, when a little drop of chazer falls in the potato soup, it's gonna spread out throughout the potato soup. If a person would sit down now and start to eat this potato soup, he would take one spoonful, another spoonful, one bowl, two bowls, three bowls, four bowls, and he would finally reach the amount of kedei achilas pras of potato soup. That means it would be three or four eggs worth, whatever it was, the volume, you make your cheshbon, how much potato soup that is. At the end of those eating of three or four eggs worth, the end of the kedei achilas pras of potato soup, did the guy eat a kezayis of chazer or not? Was there basically, there's a ratio, there's a mathematical question. The ratio of chazer that fell into the potato soup, is there enough chazer in there that it will eat four kabeitzim, will eat his kadechilus pras worth of potato soup, he will have consumed a kazayas of chazer? Or is the answer to that question no? Says the Rambam, if the answer to that question is yes, that there's a kazayas b'chadechilus pras, that means there's enough chazer in there, enough has fallen in, to enable you to eat a kezayis worth of treifas within the shear, the amount of time that it takes you to eat all that potato soup. So says the Rambam, that's considered to be mitzuref yachad. That kezayis is considered to be as if it's there. The same way in Uchas Brachas we say, if you ate the kezayis of cake within a kedechos pras, that's all mitzuref yachad, you make an ala michya. The same way if you eat a kezayis of matzah and pesach night, kedechos pras, that's mitzuref yachad, you yotzei achilas matzah. So too, when you have a kezayis of treifas, mitzuref yachad, within kedechos pras, you are chay of derai. So we're going to give you malchus for the eating of this kezayis of chazir. However, says the Rambam, what if a kezayis fell into this pot, but there's so much potato soup in there that it's more than three or four eggs worth of potato soup in there. So the if you would eat three or four eggs worth of potato soup, you wouldn't get a full kezayis because the kezayis diffuses out, so you'd only end up with three quarters of kezayis, depending on what your statistics are. So if there's so much more potato soup than the kezayis of chazer fell in, that, says the Rambam, is called ta'am v'loma masho. That's only ta'am kikor midirabanan. Now, since it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be bafel b'shishim, just in the math, means you probably will be able to taste the chazer. Every spoonful of potato soup you take, you will clearly taste the chazer, but that doesn't matter, says the Rambam. The fact that you taste the chazer, that in and of itself doesn't pose a problem in HaTorah. But the real problem in HaTorah is only if the ratio was so high that you would have a kezayis b'chadechilas pras, then and only then would it be the araisa. So says the Rambam, that's exactly what Rabbi Yechonon meant when he said, kol she'tamo ve'ein mamasho, ein lokin alav. If it's only ta'am, namely, you can taste it, the taste is discernible, but ein mamasho, there's no mamashos to it. What does mamasho mean? Mamasho means there's not that much that would have constituted a kezayis b'chadechilas pras. Says the Rambam, therefore, ein lokin alav, therefore it's only also b'derabanan. The implication is, if it would have been ta'am u'mamasho, it would have been a lot of trepas in there, which would have constituted a kezayis b'chadechilas pras, then one would have been chayav malchus. So this is the Rambam's permutation of the sugya of Tam Kikr. So according to Chazal, the four basic shittas, according to Rashi, Tam Kikr is always midirabanan. According to Rabbi Natan, Tam Kikr is always midirais, and you're always chayav malchus. According to the Rimi or Linz, Tam Kikr is derais, but you're never chayav malchus. It's an Isra Tzei. And according to the Rambam, sometimes it's derais and sometimes it's derabanan. If it's kedayis b'chadechilas pras, then it's derais. If it's not a kedayis b'chadechilas pras, then it's only midirabanan. Now the truth is, there are a few other shittas in the Rishonim, at least two other shittas in the Rishonim. We're going to leave them out. They're like different permutations of some of these four basic shittas. These are the four basic shittas that we're going to present. At the end of the day, halacha might have a paskin in this whole shayla. What might have kamina? It's also anyway. Bottom line is everybody agrees that it's also with the malchus, not malchus. Everyone agrees that it's also. So might have kamina. So come to Bisham, say, no, it's a tremendous nafkamina. What's the halacha if you have a suffix, whether you have tam or not? You're not sure whether you have tam. What do you mean you're not sure that you have tam? So remember, we spoke about last week that in the olden days, they would ask a non-Jew to come in and taste. We don't do that for whatever technical reasons that we explained last week. So what do? So we do the next best thing. What the Chachamim tell us is that you should cheshbon shishim, that if you have shishim, so then you can assume that there's no tam. What if you don't know whether you have shishim or not? You have a suffix shishim. Now we're going to have to talk about hopefully in future weeks. What do you mean you're not sure that you have shishim? Just measure it out. Just count it out. No, he doesn't know how to count. He doesn't know how to cheshbon. He never learned Yoreh. He doesn't know what to do. So that might not necessarily be called the suffix shishim. That's what the Rishonim call a suffix yediya. So that's the nice way of putting it. Some Rishonim use the phrase, suffix yediya is not called the suffix. Other Rishonim will put it a little bit harsher on the person and say, das shaitim ain't a das. That means a guy doesn't know what to do. So go learn your day. Go figure out how to count. And then you'll figure out how to be Mishah Shishim. So whether you say it in the politically correct way or not, the bottom line is that may not necessarily constitute a suffix shishim, but there may be cases in halacha that really are suffix shishim. It means there may be certain scenarios which really do constitute a real bona fide suffix, and the question is, what do you do? What the halacha lemaisa, what do you do? So if you have a suffix where you have shishim, are you dealing with the daraisa or not? So let's figure out the sheet. It's according to Rashi, it's on a derabon anyway. It's a suffix derabon lakula. According to Rabbi Natan, it's a suffix deraisa. So you can't eat it, misafik. According to the Rimi Alins, it's also a suffix deraisa. It may not be chayim halkos, but it's still nisa deraisa. It's a nisa rasei. So a suffix deraisa would be l'chumra. According to the Rambam, it will depend on the following. If you know that you don't have kazakh techilas pras, which you probably don't, so if you have a suffix whether you have kazakh techilas pras, then you have a problem in HaTorah. But if you know for a fact there's no kazakh techilas pras, and you're just not sure whether you have shishim or not, so according to the Rambam, it's also not a problem with deraisa. Deraisa was already solved by less than kazakh techilas pras, so according to the Rambam, it would also be only a nisa derabanan. So now you have two on two. So you have Rashi and the Rambam against Rabbi Natan and the Rimi Orlins. So half the Rishonim hold that Tam Kikr is deraisa, practically speaking. Half the Rishonim hold it's only derabanan. So what do you do now? So now you have us. You're not sure. So comes the Rashba and says, it's very hard for us to be machmir the shayla. So says the Rashba, we have to assume mahalocha l'chumra the shayla. We have to assume that Tam Kikr may very well be a nisa deraisa, and we're going to treat it with all the chumras of deraisas also. Says the Rashba, therefore, anytime a shayla comes up in a case of tarovus of min b'she'eino mino, unless we know with absolute certainty that we have shishim, we're going to be machmer. So the Rashba was the one who coined this phrase, safek shishim l'chumra, that if you're not sure whether you have shishim, then you have to go l'chumra, you have to be machmer. If it's a min b'she'eino mino, if it's min b'mino, we'll have to talk about that hopefully another time. But if it's min b'she'eino mino, any shayla that comes up in your kitchen, a little bit of chaza, all these common shaylas, a little bit of chaza falls into your pot of potato soup, or anything that falls into any tarovus of mimish ein amino, and I'm looking at it, maybe shishim, no shishim, maybe, yeah, no, says the Rashba, tough, you have to be machmeris, and in deference, the half the Rishonim, who paskin the Tam Kikr, is in fact the Araisa. And the Shulchan Aruch follows suit, the Shulchan Aruch follows this Rashba, and this is how we paskin Halach Lamaisa, in the beginning of the Simin Tzadi Ches in Yerodea, so it's a Nimna Vagomru, the later paskin have accepted this Rashba, that anytime you have a suffix shishim, so suffix shishim has to go to Chumra, by a min b'she'en amino, because of the principle of suffik deraisa l'chumra, that we're not really convinced. We don't say with absolute certainty that it's a deraisa, but we're nervous enough that it's a deraisa, not willing to be make even in situations of sveikah. So this is really the background in terms of the ABCs of Siman Tzadi Ches. Hopefully next we'll continue a little bit along the understanding conceptually some of the ideas of Tam Ke'ikur, and see maybe we can even begin min b'mino a little bit. So hopefully next week is going to be the last year for the Zman. And then hopefully it falls well. So hopefully next year we'll continue on.